Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 74th Venice International Film Festival. And with James Tolbeck, who's here to present The Private Life of a Modern Woman. So welcome.
I'm happy to be in your presence.
And can I say, can I let our listeners and watchers see how you match with Fred shoes and Fred?
So
thank you for dressing up as a Fred follower.
I love red and black. And
perfect.
I had a choice, either wear a red shirt, red jacket, red pants, red socks, and black shoes, or the reverse. And I chose black and then red at the bottom.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's perfect, so thank you so much. So, first of all, this film, as you wrote in your press notes, was conceived, invented, and written for Sienna Miller.
Absolutely.
Would you tell me why? Because I heard it in a press conference, but I want to know more about
I first of all, I have had an obsession with writing something for and directing Sienna Miller since I saw her about 11 years ago in two movies, Factory Girl, where she played Edie Sedgwick, whom I knew very well when I was in my Harvard years, and then also a movie called Interview with Steve Buscemi, who wrote it and directed it. She was the lead in both of those movies, and she carried both of those movies. And over the last 11 years, she never had a chance after that to carry a whole movie. And I always felt she's terrific in this, she was great in Layer Cake and this and that, but I never felt, why is she not playing the lead? Why? I never want her off the screen. I always want to see her. So I said, I have to write a movie for her. And then I wrote a movie called Circle of Deceit, which was going to have her, Alec Baldwin, and James Franco. And at the last minute, the guy who said he had the money didn't, and he left. He lost $800,000, which he never got back, but he didn't have the rest of the money, so we had to cancel the movie. And I said to Sienna, hang in there. I am going to write another movie, which we can make for less money, just for you. And that's how this movie came about. And I'm actually glad that it did, because the truth is I got more excited about this movie than I was about that movie. It became more, because being a man and having written so many movies where the male character is some kind of version of me, I ultimately start to get bored with that character because I've been around him so long. Whereas a woman, it's a whole different experience from the beginning because I'm not a woman. So writing Exposed for Nastassja Kinski or When Will I Be Loved for Neve Campbell, It's always been great to step back and turn a movie over to a woman. And Sienna being someone I was so eager to write for, this was the perfect way of doing it.
So how much of the script, I mean, did Sienna help you in this? Did you get her involved in the whole process, or you just gave her the script and that's the story?
I wrote the first draft of the script and gave it to her, and she was filled with ideas, criticisms, suggestions, and we went back and forth, I would say, over a two-month period in which I incorporated, I would say, just about all of her questions, ideas, criticisms. In almost every case, I could see her point. She's one of the few actors I've ever dealt with, including some very brilliant actors, all of whose ideas I registered as great, as good, as useful. I won't mention names, but some actors who are friends of mine who are talented and smart come up with ideas sometimes that are unspeakably off the fucking wall. And I'm thinking, whoa, how can you be even suggest? I don't say that, you know. She is the only one where every single idea she gave me was either right or at least it was intelligently debatable. So as far as I was concerned, she was a great collaborator, because that's what you want, someone who's seeing things the same way you are, but who has different approaches and specific ideas and resistances, certain things that she didn't believe. A couple of them I convinced her. I said, take my word for it. No one's going to worry about that. It's going to be believable. Others where she insisted, I thought, well, if she's that certain, I'm going to back off and listen to her on it. For instance, there was one thing that from the beginning made her nervous, and that was for it to be believable that when she had this corpse in her apartment and stuffed it into a trunk and wheeled the trunk out to the car and stuffed the trunk into the trunk of the car and drove it upstate and dumped it in the water. She said, it's too casual. It looks as if she's a professional and as if she's done. You have to imagine your way into how crazy this is and where things are and give her a sense of not knowing what to do and panicking and thinking through and still being very nervous about it because there are a million ways of getting caught. And after she said that three or four times, it really started to penetrate. And I reconceived the scene. And I think it's totally believable now. But it wouldn't have been if I had just stuck to my initial idea of it, which didn't include the kind of thought process that goes into it and nervousness that she has about how to handle it.
Well, was it always your idea to have a sort of, let's say, an oniric feeling surrounding the female, at least the first part?
To say that again, to have...
Oniric, like dreamlike experience.
No, it was not. The movie was written and shot in a way that it was going to be linear, moment leading to moment leading to moment. And Barry Levinson, who is one of my closest friends, we did Bugsy together, and he's directed, you know, he directed Diner and Good Morning Vietnam and a lot of movies over the years. Barry has remained a very close friend, and we always consult each other. And he came into the editing room maybe 3 weeks in when I had the first 20 minutes cut in a rough way. And I know his face so well, and I could see that he was coming up with a radical idea that he was sort of excited about but a little embarrassed to say. And his face got red, and I knew I was going to hear something interesting. And he said, you know what might be worth trying? What? And he said, you don't have to do this in a linear way. Maybe because you have her thrashing around at the beginning having a nightmare. And all of a sudden, I started to see what he was getting at. And within 2 days, I had completely reconceived the first 15 minutes of the movie, only off that reaction he had. To this day, I don't think that if he'd been in the... I think if he had not been in the editing room that day and reacted that way, it would have remained a linear film, and it wouldn't have been nearly as good. It's a much better way of getting into the film and into her head than the way it would have been just going beat by beat by beat.
That's very nice of you to having, you know, the right approach also to get, you know, advice from director, from help. You know, in the creative process, sometimes it's difficult. You know, you sometimes you get stuck with your idea. It's very difficult to let go of it.
You know, I always know. I don't understand people who directors who resist ideas. You're in charge. You can always go back to what you want to do. It's same thing like in dealing with actors. If they want to try something, why would you ever say no? You don't have to use it. Why would you not encourage actors to try anything they want to try, or your editor, or a friend who's smart, and open your mind to it? I've done that with every movie. I've done it while I'm shooting every movie. And when I think of people, directors, who are afraid to even entertain an idea that challenges what they... Because there are too many times when I was sure of something, and then I ended up being sure of something different. Just as sure. So you have to do it with the right people. You have to do it with people who are connected to you, who basically like your work. And so you don't want someone who's like coming from another place, but someone who sees things from your point of view but says here instead of here. Same thing with cameramen. I use great famous cameramen. I'm going to always just tell them what to do. Larry McConkie, the greatest Steadicam operator who ever lived, Larry, who shoots all of Scorsese's Steadicam movies, all of Tarantino's, I always design the shot. I always say, this is what I want to do. We're here, we go here, we go here. And then I'm assuming he's going to make it better, which he always does. There's never a time when he doesn't say, okay, and then maybe I'll do that, and maybe I'll do that. And it's always going to work. He's just... So you want people like that who are on your wavelength, and then they'll improve you.
One last question that I'm curious about. I read that you wrote that the film turns to have a merciless abruptness, and that's the only way you should and the film.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because that's the way life is. Yeah. Life doesn't give you a chance to adjust. It pulls the rug out from under you when you least expect it. And it smacks you in the back of the head when you thought you were fine. And I think movies that don't give you a sense of that are lying through their fucking teeth. And when you make a movie, I think you are obliged to tell the truth to an audience and not to give them some false sense of reality. And one of the basic truths of life is that you never know what's going to happen from second to second to second. People love to say, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But to me, a movie has an obligation to remind you that you never know.
That's the perfect ending to a film and to an interview. So thank you so much,
Jane
Stovak, for being with us and talk about the private life of a modern woman.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Thank you. And let's go rob a bank.
Let's go, then. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 74th Venice International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.